Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I hope you have enjoyed Mr. Kevin MacLeod's classic reggae. I just love to use that little tune to just get myself in a very relaxing mood. As we would say on the island, it's time for no problem, man. And here you'd say it's time to chill. So as I ask you to do each week, because it works for me, folks, just relax, pretend you're in your favorite place in Jamaica. Perhaps you were there when you were growing up or when you visited or the last time you visited. So let's just chill for the evening. For the next hour, you will be entertained in the backyard Jamaican style. So just think of yourself sipping on a rum and coke or some coconut water. If you're like we old folks that are on medication, so we can mix the rum thing with what we're taking, so we'll just pretend. So we're off to the island and we can feel the cool trade winds drifting across our face. So no matter what the cares were for the week or the day, just relax. Because this evening we're going to be taking a stroll down memory lane. And we're going to be talking about school days as we've been for the past couple of weeks. And I must tell you, the shows are quite popular because a lot of people are hitting on them. And it's so great when you get to be a senior like me and some of my fans, that you can really go down there to memory lane. You're so excited when you can remember. And you know, they say the best thing to keep the brain sharp is to keep it active. So I hope that as our special guest tonight talk about his school days, it will take you back to yours. So without any further ado, I'm sure most of the fans know what we do here when we get together in the backyard. We're here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And although many of us have left long ago, I have left long, long ago. I mean, we still love our island, and we still wish we were there. But for me, I know it's not going to happen, so I'm just going to live on my memories. So we have a very special guest who have been our guest before. And this particular gentleman is so fortunate because he had the opportunity to graduate from two different high schools in Jamaica. He has given us some insight on the first one, which I think it was St. George's. Well, I'll have him tell you. But tonight he's going to talk about a very popular school in its time, but from what I understand, it doesn't exist anymore, or perhaps merged with something else. But Mr. Carr Belnavis is going to tell us about his experience at the Jamaica School of Agriculture. So if he's on the board, would he please raise his hand? I'm waiting. Is my special guest on the board yet? Well, I suppose he's not, because I don't see a raised hand. And incidentally, if anyone would like to join me in the Labrish or join him, I know here he is. So I'm going to open up the mic. But if you want to join the Labrish, make a comment or, as I say, give your 2 cents, your sidebar, just hit 1 on your telephone, because that's what a Labrish is. We need conversation. So, and I'll be happy to open up the mic and welcome you. So Mr. Carl is here with me this evening, so I'm going to open the mic. Hello there.
Hello, Margaret.
How are you?
I'm very good, relaxing as you suggested.
And okay, what are you sipping on? Evening.
I'm sipping on a Coke right now.
What is your favorite drink?
Well, I've been drinking Coke, so I'm sipping on a Coke.
Oh, all right, you've been Americanized.
We pretend. I can't get into the real thing, so I substitute.
I know what you mean. We pretend you're having coconut water or perhaps sugar
and
water.
Rum and coconut water. Rum and,
all right. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I mentioned that you were very fortunate to be involved with 2 different schools. First one was
Kingston College.
Oh, it was Kingston College. Okay. We've had so many different seniors talking about their
mm-hmm.
wonderful school experiences
mm-hmm.
that, you know, the old lady forgets sometimes. So tonight you're going to be talking about
Jamaica School of Agriculture.
Right. So let me ask you first, I think we mentioned that it no longer exists?
No, it's not in its present form. There is another one, school in Pasley Gardens, that took over from it in 1981.
Oh, I got it.
Well, it's a much bigger scope than the old JSA. As a matter of fact, historically, it started out being called Farm School.
Yes, I have some notes on that.
That's in 1910.
Yes.
And in those days, it was really founded to prepare 12 young men to be agricultural instructors.
Huh. In 1910. So who was it formed by, the government?
I'm not quite sure of the actual founder. That's escaped me. But it certainly was started in 1910. And until 1942, it was known as Farm School. But then after 1942, the name was changed to the Jamaica School of Agriculture.
I see.
It was located up in Papine, in northern St. Andrew, right behind the Hope Gardens. That is where the College of Technology, or the University of Technology, is now located.
Okay.
So we occupied those buildings at that time.
And what did you
graduate? Huh?
What year did you attend the
I graduated in 1957.
Uh-huh.
But at that time,
what was the curriculum like?
Huh?
I said, what was the career? Did you go to JC before?
No, I went to KC, Kingston College.
KC, I mean.
Yes.
Well, you went there before you go to this,
Jamaica School of Agriculture was really a tertiary institution. It wasn't a high school.
Oh,
it was
I got
tertiary
you.
Tertiary institution.
Uh-huh.
And we had formal classes for about 4 hours in the morning. A variety of subjects were taught. And different lecturers lectured to us. And in those days, it was only male students, no females at all.
I see.
But one of the most striking things about Farm School or JSA, that up to the time when we were up in Hope, they had a very rigorous form of initiation called ragging.
That's interesting.
It was
similar
to
hazing like they have here?
Yeah, we call it American medical. We used to call it ragging.
Okay, so tell us about it.
The students who came in first, they were referred to as grubs.
Wow. Grubs.
And then the senior men who were in the second and third year, they were the ones who initiated the awful initiation. And believe you me, the punishment was rather harsh.
Well, you have to share it with us.
Well, what would happen is that they would we would be severely beaten with belts or sticks.
Really?
By the senior men.
Uh-huh.
And made us feel very insignificant.
Wow.
And uncomfortable. As a matter of fact, there's a story told that there was in those days, there was a guy who came from Calabar, when Calabar was located down in Slipe Road. And he took the initiation so hard that he found himself all the way back down to Calabar.
So it was really very rough.
Was this
a boarding school? Did you board
there? It was
a
boarding school, yes, it was, yes.
Oh,
although
my.
When I started first, they had filled out all the boarding spaces. So I was actually started as a day student.
Uh-huh.
I used to go up every morning. But we were treated, the initiation was, of course, you look forward to being a senior man, so you could also initiate the grubs.
Okay, payback time.
For example, we had a bathroom. Everybody had a bath in the mornings, and they would herd up everybody and say, one pipe only.
Hmm.
So everybody had to just get up on the one pipe. In the meantime, you are being beaten by this guy with a belt or something.
You mean while you were naked?
Of course.
Oh my gosh. So where were the instructors at that time?
Yes, and then the senior men would command you to shine their shoes. You know, that kind of stuff.
So may
they,
I ask really, a question? Give me an
really
idea
very fearful
how
of the
many
senior
would
men.
Be in the initiation. How many new boys we're talking about?
I figure class would be something about 25, 30.
Oh, that's a lot.
Oh, about that size.
Huh.
But we had farm duties in the morning, which would start out very early in the morning, sometimes as early as 5 a.m.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to really back up on the hazing thing.
Yes.
So are you saying now that you would be taking a bath in the morning or a shower before you go out at 5 o'clock in the morning?
Sometimes. Or sometimes when you came back from your early morning duties and you expect to have a bath before you went into classes. And
uh-huh.
That's when the guys administer the punishment.
Ah, I see. So would it be like equal amount of the seniors that would be hazing or what you call it?
Gorging? Oh, yeah, ragging. It's called ragging.
Ragging. That would be ragging the juniors?
Yes, almost all of them. I mean, maybe a few wouldn't partake, but most of them would partake because I thought it was great fun.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you had a mustache, they would shave off one half of the mustache to ridicule you, you know?
So... What age group are these boys now?
Well, like I said, it's a tertiary institution. So guys would come in their late teens and sometimes early 20s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some of their students as well.
Oh, all right, good.
But most of them came from what is called the practical training centers, places like Nakalva and Dint Hill.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of the guys came from there. As for myself and some other guys, including one of our guests that might come on tonight, Frank Burley, we were really Kingston boys, you know.
Uh-huh.
Although I was born in the country, I grew up along most of my life in Kingston. So the other guys from the country referred to us as asphalt farmers.
Wow, we're really getting an education tonight. Let me ask you something. I see a hand up on the board. So would you mind taking a question or a comment?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, it's 404-352. I see that your hand is up, so I'm going to open the mic. Good evening, this is Margaret in the backyard. I'm Carl. Who do we have from 404?
I think it's me. This is John Walter.
Oh, John Walter.
Hi, John.
He actually lives in Atlanta.
Yes. The only reason I'm butting in here is that Carl just talked about people who came to the Jamaica School of Agriculture from the technical training centers, which they call now them. Mine was Dintil in Linstead in St. Catherine. And they've changed the name now from the Dintil Practical Training Center to the Dintil Technical School. But
wow.
it was a normal progression for those who had higher ambitions to go from the technical school or the practical training center, which was more practical than, shall we say, heavily, non-technical.
Academic.
Yes, academic, that's the word.
All right.
But by the time you got to the Jamaica School of Agriculture, you had enough of a background to do the work, you see. And not only that, you were in better physical condition, I think, than people that are coming from elsewhere. I'm not sure.
Well, you could get the ragging.
Well, you know, the ragging, you know, was not, shall I say, mean. It was a lot of fun. Nobody, I think, got hurt that I know of. And it's as when you're a grub, you know, you look forward to your second year when you could do that sort of thing.
Of course.
Oh,
so
yes.
I didn't think it escalated in anything that was injurious to anybody. But the objective behind it, I didn't like it when I went there the first time. And I went to the headmaster. And I said to the headmaster, what is going on here? Because I'd been to Dintil, and they did that there too. So I thought when I came to the Jamaica School of Agriculture, we were grown-up people, and you didn't do stuff like that anymore. But the headmaster
said
to me...
So you got it twice!
Twice! So the headmaster says to me, you know, not everybody is coming from Dintil or Knockover or Homewood, which are the other training centers. Some of these are coming here for the first time from Kingston College, you know, St. George's. I think Carl came from one of those. And maybe he needs toughening up.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, it was a leveling process. Because some people coming feeling that they're better than other people. But everybody went through the same kind of thing, that being the Marine.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Then you get rid of all your, shall I call it, uppiness, or the suggestion that you're better than anybody. We are all together. And
mm-hmm.
that spirit of togetherness, of being one, really, really carried through the years. And that's why Carl is talking to you now, and I am talking to you.
Yes, and may I have your name again?
This is Professor Walter, John C. Walter. This is Dr. John C. Walter, Professor of History and Law, University of Washington, Seattle, Washington. Now Professor Emeritus. I just retired, so I'm Professor Emeritus. And somewhere, I think, out there, you probably might get Dr. Frank Verley, who also went to Dintil with me and came on to Jamaica School of Agriculture just after I left. So he may be somewhere.
That is wonderful.
In
well,
market.
I'm honored that you're visiting me here in the backyard, sir, to listen to my labrish. And I'm like a little kid in a candy shop. I'm so excited. I can hardly sit down. As well,
yeah, yeah.
I'm coconut water here.
In Atlanta now. I just thought I'd let you know that. Oh, I've just retired, of course, from the University of Washington. So I'm here because my wife is here.
Oh, wonderful. Well, welcome to Atlanta. I'll have you know I am in Atlanta, too,
mm-hmm.
and I'm broadcasting from Atlanta. So I see that we have another hand up, and I can tell you that you gentlemen are back in school like when you used to put your hand up.
Yes.
Tonight you're my little students. So when you,
I'm so grateful to help you
to
my fellow old students.
My dashboard, and I'm going to be opening up the mic to 906-225. Good evening. You've got Margaret, Carl, and John. May I call you John, sir?
Absolutely.
In the backyard. So who do I have from 906-225? Your hand is up. Ooh, they left me, so I suppose it may have been an accident. So back to you two gentlemen. The floor is yours.
Yeah, we had a beautiful time at Hope. I mean, we were a practical place and also academic. We would do some farm duties early in the morning, like herding up the cows and milking cows and looking after goats and chickens. And then at about 9 o'clock, I think it was, we'd go into the classroom for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was were there local instructors or foreigners?
Oh, yes, they were all local instructors, some graduates and some non-graduates.
Uh-huh. And where you would go to milk the cow is government property or private?
Oh, yes, big property right at the back, Hope Gardens, at the back of Hope Gardens.
Right, right. Oh, those were the good old days.
Carl.
And of course, not to mention that the property was filled with Bombay mango trees.
Ooh, wow.
That was something else. We would pick mangoes, and I would compete with each other for who has the biggest bag of mangoes, which would hide in the field, and it was fun to try and find somebody's bag of mangoes and steal them.
I love it. That is wonderful. Did you have a way of marking your bag?
No, you just hide it on some trash or something and hope nobody finds it.
Ah, okay.
But by the same token, the senior guys would actually rob the younger guys if they could, you know.
A little more ragging.
Oh, yeah, a little more took place there as well.
Right. Now, how many years did you go there for? You have
it's
to
a
go
three-year
there.
Course.
Right. A three-year course, I see.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Can I get a word in here?
Yes, John.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Carl, wouldn't you say that when what do they call themselves, the University of Technology moved into
right.
that space, weren't you upset?
Not really, because you're looking forward to going to the new new place in Twickenham Park.
Well, when I think, I was upset, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell our hostess, or host, why. Because you went off our little campus at the Jamaica School for Agriculture, and you're in the beautiful botanical gardens.
Right, of course. That was a plus.
Now, at the Jamaica School of Agriculture, you had to study. And
yes.
I think we had a phrase for it that you were swatting.
Swatting, right,
swatting. And
not sweating, swatting.
Not sweating, swatting.
Swatting.
I mean, it's a higher form of sweating, let me tell you.
Tell me about that.
Because I remember, unlike in America or in American college, I think, correct me, Carl, if I'm wrong, every quarter you had something like 8 or 7 topics.
Yes, yes.
While
yes,
in America you have
subjects.
3 or 4. Yeah. And so you had to study very, very hard. As a matter of fact, I went home once and the medical doctor told my mother that the boy is suffering from brain fever.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so well known. After the finals, I know about you, Carl. Carl was stronger
yes.
than me. But after
yes.
the finals, you go home.
Yes.
And you have to lay in bed sometimes for a whole day or two.
We would study all night.
Yes.
We would study all night. We had coffee keeping us up, and we studied all night.
Yeah. But the best place to study is under the trees, you see, in
yes,
the botanical
yes,
gardens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it was
well, you know, those of us who partook in sporting activities were at a disadvantage. So some guys, all they did was swatting. They never played any football. They never ran. They never played cricket.
Mm-hmm.
They just, as soon as they got a chance, they're into the books.
Yes. That was the kind of place it was. You didn't fool around. But
yeah.
another thing, too, you should tell her, Carl, that this was a place that made sure you study. And the way
oh,
they
yeah,
did
absolutely.
That, they
absolutely.
Gave you the time to study. But also, although you are in Kingston, where all kinds of, shenanigans is going on,
yes.
you couldn't participate in that because you could not leave campus
no.
until Saturday. And I think we couldn't get out until that. Was it Saturday noon, Carl?
Saturday, yeah, Saturday.
No,
you get a pass
get off campus
on Saturday.
Saturday.
And you had to come back at an early hour.
Yes. I don't think you could stay down any later than 12 o'clock midnight.
You
better
no,
be back
you had to come
campus.
Back, yeah.
So the distractions, and we are young men now, you know, we are 16, 17, 18, feeling full of vigor.
Hormones.
Yes,
hormones
are high. So
yeah.
you have to control yourself.
Yeah, part of the pluses of being at Hope was to meet young ladies at Hope Gardens.
Right, there you go.
You meet a lot of girls at Hope Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
You mean they came there to visit Hope Gardens?
Yes, so you would go down there and try and get their hands, so to speak.
Oh, you go girl watching.
Girl watching and girl taking.
But I had a feeling they knew that's where we hung out to study.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so therefore,
absolutely.
Instead of us going down to see them, they came up to see us and meet us at Hope Garden. But they couldn't
right.
go past the border onto our little campus, you understand?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
wow.
They had to say goodnight in the garden. But it was a nice place to say goodbye, darling. I'll see you next week.
Yes.
Yes. Especially if you can say it in the maze.
Yes.
Yes. You remember the maze?
I remember the maze.
Yeah, now I see another hand up, or the hand up at 906-225,
mm-hmm.
And I'd like to open to the mic to that caller. Good evening. This is Margaret, Colin, John. Who do I have, and where are you calling from?
You have Frank Verley,
right,
from Marquette, Michigan.
Hello, Frank from Michigan. Welcome to the backyard.
I'm doing quite well. I've been enjoying your talk and your discussions. And fortunately, I'm very familiar with both of your two guests, which are two fine gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Excellent gentlemen. But, you know, looking back at the experience at both Dintel and Farm School, we did get the ragging as such. But I think it was mainly targeted, though we were not aware, at taking care of insubordination. We had to learn to respect the senior men. It doesn't matter who they are in the position.
Right.
That was a very important thing that we learned. That it's not the man, but what he represents. It doesn't matter who it was. As a senior man, you had to respect him.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that was one of those things. It was very hard and very painful. But when you got to be a senior man, then you don't understand the meaning.
Yes.
It's like
yeah,
when your mom beats you. The beatings you get from your mom, you get it because of love.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, yes. And if I may say so, you know, perhaps not necessarily beating, but I think that is lacking now, the respect for seniors. Not
discipline.
Not just old folks like me, but, you know, a
just
senior
discipline.
In any discipline, whatever discipline you are in, the respect for that higher level seems to be watered down now.
Yes, yeah.
Mostly,
and as,
you know,
Dr.
I'm not
Walters,
just in Jamaica, all over the world.
Yeah. And as Dr.
We
Walters
have so
said,
much to celebrate from our era,
mm-hmm.
that I am... if you gentlemen would mind me saying so, I am so I feel so privileged and so excited about spending that part of my life in Jamaica.
Yeah.
So it's always wonderful to hear all these great stories, because all the stories have been different, and there have all been great stories about our parents. Really want to thank all of you gentlemen for participating, because what we're doing here is very important. Because I say it every week, I'm sure people are tired of hearing me saying it, but, you know, when I was a teenager or when I was a young person, I really wasn't interested in old people's story. You know what I mean? I just wanted to do my own thing. But I found as I got older and I matured, I wish I had listened more to what my mother had to say, and I wish she was around to tell me some of her stories. So I think that what we're doing here now is leaving these wonderful stories for the generation now that think that they're too busy or they're not interested, because eventually they will. So all of you are really doing a wonderful thing for the next generation. So I just wanted to put my little sidebar in about that. And let me just take a minute to inform our fans on the board and those listening online that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each week on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So if you or someone you know have stories about growing up in Jamaica, this show is not about politics or religion, who's right or who's wrong. We're just leaving some memories and leaving a living legacy for the next generation. So with that said, gentlemen, back to you. Carl, may I start with you? And
yes,
one of
the very beautiful things about people who went to farm school, we are referred to as old farmers.
Mm. I
so
see where the association has been started, which I'll mention, you know, before we come off the air. But go ahead.
Yeah, we're called old farmers. So when I call to somebody, I say, "Oh, this is Carl Belknap. It's an old farmer. He knows exactly what we're talking about."
Wow, that's inside language.
Yes. Well, we had some great guys who were teaching us various subjects. I remember one guy, his name was Mr. Vaughn. He was a woodworking instructor.
Yeah.
And he would tell us that we should cut the line and not the wood.
Cut the what?
Cut the line.
The line
that we mark on the wood. We should cut that line and not the wood itself.
I see.
That used to annoy me to pieces.
How can you cut the line and not...
Strict.
That's
my question for him, too. That's exactly what I said. How can you do that?
Yes. I suppose his idea was that you don't go anywhere
over the line. You keep it right in the middle.
Dissect
the pencil mark. And he was good at it. He was good at setting an example.
One of the things I liked about those schools is some of the phrases they used to put you down. For example, if you're talking to a senior gentleman and he's through with you, he says, "Disappear in an appearing position."
Oh, my gosh.
You have to back off. You can't turn around your back, and you just back off until you're out of sight. And woe betide if somebody is behind you to trip you up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we had some good times.
But one of the things I think those schools emphasize was the relationship between academics and, shall we call it, physical culture or sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they're into a sound mind and a sound body. And so I find that they gave us all the opportunity to engage in sports. I think we had, correct me here, Carl, if I'm wrong, did we have 3 houses at farm school?
Yes,
we competed among the houses. Yeah?
Yes.
We had the same thing at DLC, yeah. And so then you had a competition among the 3 houses, if I'm right, in everything, soccer, cricket, track and field, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was regularized. We had 1 season for football, 1 for cricket, and 1 for track.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we took this thing seriously.
As a matter of fact, John, there was a criteria for people coming into the school.
Yeah.
If a guy was or a competition for getting in, and one guy was good at some sport, mm-hmm. he'd be given the edge.
Ah.
And, of course, all these guys who came from the country always proclaimed that they were great at this and that and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was not true. There was one guy who he was given the nod because he said he was a good cricketer.
Mm-hmm.
So the man, Mr. Roper, said, Brown the chance. He's a good cricketer. When Brown got on the cricket field, he couldn't even hold a cricket bat.
Well, you see, it was a highly desirable school, and so people would, you know, try to get in under false circumstances.
Yes. You have to tell them that here's some great thing at whatever sport. We played for my parish. I was a fast bowler, I was a batsman, or I was on the football team, or I could run fast or something. And very often it wasn't true.
Yes. You know, unlike in those days, nobody had to check because they took people at their word,
number one. And number two, even if you wanted to check,
it would be so difficult. Now, with the internet and everything, you know,
everything has changed
so much, really has changed. So may I ask you, so it was a boarding school.
Boarding school, yes.
So you mentioned about getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, one duty ticket by that time. If you're on that duty, you probably have to go herd up the cows in the early morning.
Ah, so everybody didn't do it. It's the people who were selected.
No, each person was a different duty.
But let me. Can I comment on the time?
Sure, absolutely.
Remember, there are some of us who were involved in track, like myself,
mm-hmm.
and I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I would leave from Hope, run down to Matilda's Corner, and come up back, get my road work. And then I'd go down to my job at the dairy barn, do the milking. But however, I get a chance to drink a half a gallon of milk straight from the cow.
Wow.
Nice and warm.
Yep. From the cow, fresh milk, half a gallon every morning.
They used to call that thing bust, wasn't it, Frankie? You drink it bust?
Yes.
Why,
yes.
Boss? I don't know.
Can you say that again?
The stuff you drank, the milk, was called boss. I don't know how it was spelled, but that's what they say, yeah. Boss. And my boss, yeah. I don't know.
Boss.
But it's nice and warm.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well, you know, nowadays they would think that you can't drink that because it's not pasteurized.
Right.
But in those days, things were so different.
Wonderful.
So may I ask you now, so would you get a meal before you go out to run, or was the kitchen open?
No, I get up in the morning an hour earlier because I wanted to get in shape. I was involved in cricket and
soccer. Oh, so you were running on your own, sort of.
On my own. John did some of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
As distance runner, we have to do the road work. We have to come to duty. So we got up early in the morning.
And tell you what, go ahead, Frank. I'm sorry.
And we're putting the road work, then we're coming in and going to our duty.
Yeah.
Then we'd come back and shower and get go and have a coffee and crackers.
Yeah.
And we'd go to the
first
farm.
Meal was coffee.
Yes.
Yeah?
First meal was called coffee.
Yeah. But,
okay.
But we had to do that.
Go ahead.
No, we had to do that. We do that every day.
Yes.
For some of us.
That was kind of strange for me to, you know, go out and do that kind of work in the morning. I wasn't used to that. I was a bit pampered myself. Although, although I had done it at Dintil before I came to farm school or JSA. So I expected it, but I still didn't like it. But one of the things was odd is that you went out, you did this work, and if you were an athlete, you did some work even before you did that work.
Mm-hmm,
because,
mm-hmm.
Frank, I used to do the same thing, right, run from the campus to Matilda's Corner. Yes, there was this little dog who used to catch me halfway and run down with me and run back and then go into his house or wherever he went. But you did that, and then you did the work. And then you had this coffee and crackers.
Yes.
You did some studies after that, and then you had breakfast.
Ah, so tell me what breakfast would be like.
Porridge. Porridge or cornflakes.
Right.
And a glass
fried
of
eggs. A lot of fried eggs.
Eggs, yeah.
But did you have chicken
it started
on the farm?
Out as eggs. No, we had a farm. There was a farm. We had a poultry.
Yes,
everything
was
on
from the egg farm.
Yeah. Everything was on the farm. All fresh.
Wow. So give me an idea of the different things that were on the farm.
They had vegetables. All the vegetables were grown there. And they had corn.
By the students.
Yes, mm-hmm. we did all the farming. We had bananas. Mangoes. We had miles and miles of mangoes.
Bombay mangoes.
The Bombay mangoes, East Indian mangoes, St. Julian mangoes, cashew trees, OTT apple trees, all kinds of fruits.
The paradise.
We had an abundance of fruit. Pineapples. We had some of the best pineapples in the world. Papayas. Name it. It was there. So we could never starve.
Do you guys have any pictures of any of those things?
Well,
does anybody have any pictures?
No, I don't.
We never thought if we'd ever lose it. You know, it's in our mind. We thought we'd always be there.
Right.
A taste of paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow.
And in our time, in my time, each student would have a plot which he had to take care of by himself. I remember there was one time when we all had a pineapple plot.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to keep that plot free of weeds.
Yep.
Which was quite a job because, you know, the pineapple has spines.
Yeah.
That was no joke.
Yeah.
So you were provided with all the tools and everything.
Oh, yes. They're all hand tools.
Right.
Not
did you get
about
gloves?
The chopping of the grass.
Yeah.
No, that was a joke. Did you get gloves to handle the tools?
No.
As a matter of fact, you got a machete, which was a new machete. You had to file it down to make it sharp.
Sharp to cut the grass, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't
and I mean, you'd chop grass on your hands were blistered.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But, you know, that thing was, that whole scenario there was because you're being taught to be self-reliant.
Oh, so yeah, I'm a bit tough.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is that at that time, unlike now, Jamaica was essentially an agricultural country.
Yes.
And you expected it to remain that way. I mean, I remember I'm from the parish of St. Mary, and we had a port there where the banana boat or banana ship would come in every 2 weeks. and it would go there to another to Ocho Rios, and it stay there for a week or a day or two, and next thing you know, it's gone to back to England with a boat full of bananas. So you expected that. I got to the Jamaica School of Agriculture on a Citrus Growers of Jamaica scholarship because my parents produced a number of boxes, as I was telling Frankie, of boxes of citrus per year. And so it was in, they gave me the scholarship. I had to take the exams, of course. I had to be a smart boy, too, you know. But they gave me the scholarship because why? By giving me a scholarship in the name of the Citrus Growers of Jamaica, they expect me to carry on, you see, the tradition of growing citrus. So the idea was to enhance agricultural production and to enhance the entire field of agriculture in Jamaica. That's what it was all about.
Yes, yes, yes.
It is good. But I'm surprised you guys aren't talking about one of the bonuses at farm school, that is great cane fields, sugar cane. And we could always go and just cut the cane and peel it and be refreshed by fresh sugar cane juice. Again, that was one of the things that rewarded, you know, people who were very active. You never got hungry outside of the dining room.
As a matter of fact, I didn't like the food in the dining room at all. So when it was mango season, I just had mangoes at all times.
Mangoes, yeah.
What did you like about the food?
The fruits?
Wasn't like
well, of course, my favorite was the Bombay mangoes.
No,
they were
what
in abundance.
Did you not like about the food? The cooking or the food itself?
No, yeah, the preparation was not very satisfactory.
I got you. Okay.
And some of the way the things were prepared in a very, I don't know, not a very neat and professional manner.
Right, I got you, yes.
I remember
although you were not a Kingston boy, you were expecting something better, different.
But it was different. I mean, you know, you expect preparation to be done in a certain way. But it wasn't done that way.
Right. I understand.
But the workers, you know, you remember the workers were all from the country.
Yes.
Right.
And they were
and they weren't trained. You were in the training.
Yeah, they're accustomed to having everything in one plate.
Right.
See what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so that's
the
way they prepared it.
The presentation was not up to your standards.
None at all. The presentation and the taste.
Uh-huh.
But we were disciplined, though. We had to say grace before every meal. You had to stand and say grace before every meal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember one of the grace, a friend of mine said, his name was Cornwall. Said that we thank the Lord for this little much and hope tomorrow it will be
twice as much.
Oh, that is cute! Very cute! So you did not really have any formal grace, you just say what you feel led to do, to say.
No.
Am I correct?
No, we had to close our eyes and say grace, but in on special times, you know, guys become witty and do things like that.
So would they get punished for it?
Good question.
I think
Cornwall
had
gone
to
his father. You'd have been in trouble.
I got you. So it really was not
religious.
Another thing
that I found very amusing, Margaret, is that they used to prepare a lot of eggs. It was sort of soupy, you know? But some of the guys, if they went out on an evening, they would produce a paper bag, like a brown paper bag, and ask a friend to put down some for them. And when they came in late in the night, they would seem to find it quite delicious.
The eggs?
Yes.
In a bag?
In a bag.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because
got
by
the
that
flavor.
Time, I suppose it's the more
protein.
Settled.
Probably got the flavor from the paper bag.
That is a good one.
The famous
this
tuck
is like
shop?
A reunion, gentlemen.
You remember the famous tuck shop?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the tuck shop.
The tuck shop, the standard meal was what is called a ginger bun.
Yes.
Or a gingerbread and a bottle of aerated water.
Water, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that word for a long time, aerated water.
Yeah. And then I remember one friend of mine, you could also have credit at the tuck shop up to a certain amount. So whenever you got over your credit limit, you'd be refused any more service. So one guy came and he called for the food. And when the guy who was keeping the talk shop looking in his account, he was over the limit. So he said, write it down, man. So the guy said, oh, no, man, I can't write. I mean, put it in his account. I said, write it down. The guy said, no, man, I can't write it down. And so the guy said to him, if you can't write it down, keep it in your head.
That is, as they once said, that is a genial.
Right.
Yes.
That is funny. Oh, my goodness. That is a good one. Well, I find it so fascinating.
There's one more thing you should know, though. They kept us religious because at the end of every day, mm-hmm. we had to meet and say a prayer before we went to bed. There's the inter-religion all the way through in the mornings, but especially at night we'd meet mm-hmm. and we'd to say a prayer. Some guy would even read from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one guy who was reading from the Bible. I can't remember his name, Clarence Franklin. Uh-huh. He hadn't read the Bible a lot. And when after each verse, he would see the word Selah there.
Yes.
And he'd read Selah. And that became his nickname.
Right.
They named him Selah.
Yeah.
That is a good one. So let me ask you something. Did you have, like the other schools, did you have a headmaster and all of that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, headmaster and wonderful instructors. We were really gifted and patient and tolerant instructors. They could deal with all levels. The guys who weren't well prepared, they'd be patient and brought them along. Those who were well prepared, they challenged them. So whenever you came out of there, you really had a chance to be the best you could because they gave you an opportunity. They never closed the door on anyone, and they opened it for you to grow as much as you want to grow.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a wonderful testament to what the
mm-hmm.
teachers were like in those days. Now,
did
any of the teachers live on campus?
Oh, yes, they all did.
They all did.
Ah, hmm.
And I remember one of them.
May say so, that was a real bullpen.
Yeah, it's good.
And you know, they come and stay with us.
The teachers dine with us at all our meals. The
masters
dine with us like a family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Although
their table was somewhat elevated.
Their table was
quite
different.
They're up on a platform.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they have to oversee all of this.
The food was too much.
Yeah,
the food was different. They didn't have porridge like we had and soft eggs. Their food was quite different.
Yes.
Mm. Now tell me about the pranks and mischiefs that you guys used to get into.
Us? We're serious.
We're sweet guys. You were sweet, wonderful guys. Anything like that.
Oh.
We didn't
get into any trouble. Was there some sort of punishment? I know, like in the high school, you had a demerit or, you know, something like that. Did you have some sort of punishment if you did not perform or did not do what you're supposed to do?
Like, I was from Kingston, and I'd go down as I given free time to go and practice and train. I was supposed to come up back. If I missed the bus for some reason, you know, I'd miss the bus when I come in, then I'd be gated. I couldn't leave the campus again for a certain period of time.
Oh,
yeah.
And that happened to me quite a lot.
You got locked down or locked in.
I got locked in, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you
several
know.
Times, too.
Oh, interesting. What about you other gentlemen? Anybody ever got in trouble?
I can't remember anything in particular, but I remember getting gated was certainly a feature of punishment.
Ah.
There was no corporal punishment as such, but you'd be deprived of something or other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Right, but sometimes you take
it was really a fun place.
So to speak.
Sometimes you had to take extreme measures to get there back in time. I remember one time I was down, I can't remember where I was, my highfalutin watch had stopped. And, of course, I looked at the time and I had to get back to campus by, I think it was 12 o'clock at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out to look for a bus. There's no bus. And so I had to call my aunt and say, look, can you drive me back to school? She said, at this hour of the night, why don't you catch a bus? And I said, this girl gave me, and you won't see me next week. And she was my favorite one. She loved me when I came down. She got in her car, and that's how I made it just in time.
Wow. So they had a gatekeeper then, and at a certain time, the gate is locked.
No, someone in the check the doms. The master on duty come through and check the doms and check the bed.
Yes, he was present, yeah.
You see, he was present. And there's only one main entrance, and the bus stops there. So if the if anything stops late at night, usually the master in duty will be walking down to see what's happening. But some guys were clever. They would go through a barbed wire fence and get in. I know one guy got caught because his shirt was torn in the barbed wire fence and didn't know it. And they went and saw a piece of his shirt in the fence.
Oh, my God.
And that's how they knew they knew he was out. And so the master said, would you bring me your brown plaid shirt? When he brought his brown plaid shirt, the piece was missing from the bag. So they caught him.
Oh, forensic science was going on.
Early time, yeah.
Wow.
But John,
that sounds like a lot of fun.
John,
so,
you should be able
tell
to
me
talk.
About, did you have like a graduation?
Oh, yes.
Let me introduce one more thing first. John.
Uh-huh.
You should be able to introduce to her about the convenience of having the nurses from the over the University College of the West Indies across the hall. For a while, all the nurses came up to be trained in Kingston.
Yes.
And they were just across the street where the University College of the West Indies is now. And those nurses would come down to, they choose their study time to coincide with the guys from farms who were, free.
Yeah.
Wow!
It was well. You know, you're a young man too, and these young ladies were of all kinds,
healthy.
All over the place, and you had healthy so many of them. Pardon?
I said they were healthy and lonely.
Oh yes, healthy and
well put.
My beautiful thing about it is that they were concentrated in one place, so you don't have to run all over Kingston looking for a date or for
these
are
all
beautiful.
How cool is that?
Oh, it was
absolutely
wonderful.
You know, one of the things that I had to mention that in those days, the men at farm school were looked as he men, whereas the guys who were at Michael College were called theorists.
Yes.
Well,
farm school men were the Don Juans.
Different phrases. Would you say that word again?
Theorists.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Did they know they were called that?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, I see.
That's right. Whenever we play them soccer or anything like that, you better not lose. Because then they start, they'll give you the business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? So you had a soccer team. It was called football in those days.
Football. Still football. Not soccer. Football.
Cricket, football.
That's a real
cricket.
Football.
Right. And what other sports did you participate in?
It was track.
Track?
Yeah, track. Uh-huh.
And cricket.
Did you play cricket?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cricket, great cricket teams.
Didn't we have a season, one season for track, one for cricket, and
yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
and you would play the other schools, like JCN, KCN, all of that?
No, not too much the secondary schools, but because I can say we're a tertiary institution.
Mm-hmm. So we kind of play kind of a junior league.
We play the junior league in football. I remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or we play some of the businesses sponsored team.
Yes.
We play the army. We say we go to upper camp and play against the soldiers.
Yes. I remember something very amusing, Frank. Mm-hmm. We had a team one time, and our headmaster, Mr. Johnson, actually played on the team. So at one stage during the game, one of the soldier guys kicked him. And then the guy told him he was sorry. In reply to that, Mr. Johnson said to him, "Sorry? If you do it again, you will be sorry."
Oh, that's a threat, all right.
Yeah.
He was angry.
Yes.
No, people come on later on to listen to the show. Gentlemen, would you give me an idea of what year we're talking about?
Yeah, in my case, it was 19. I got there in 1951, and left in 1953. So, but Carl was what, before me, after me?
That was after. I graduated in 57.
After me, and Frankie came about what? Frankie was a year after me. 2 years?
Yeah, I was 52, 55.
There you go. See.
Wow.
52, I lived
55,
in Missouri,
yeah.
So Frank and Carl spent more time there. I spent a year and a quarter and left because I got a track scholarship to the United States.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good. So when did you migrate to the United States?
I got here, I left there in 1953, in January of 1953, and went to college here in the United States and graduated from college here in 1956. So I didn't spend the entire time there. And then I didn't get my graduation papers at all, ever. But I left Dintel also a little early. And when we had the reunion some 50 years later at Dintel, I got my diploma.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that is wonderful. So you have been in the States since what year, sir?
Since I got here in
1953.
Oh, that is wonderful. You beat me by quite a few years. I got here in 59.
Yes.
And what about you other gentlemen?
I got here in 1980.
That is, you're Carl, and who's next?
This is Frank Verley. I got here in 1955, like John.
Mm-hmm.
I came in a track scholarship
in
55. Mm-hmm. And then I've been here, got a bachelor's degree, master's, PhD, became a faculty member. And I've been up in Michigan. I've been in Michigan for about 38 years. And I'm now retired. I'm emeritus professor in genetics. And I've just...
Oh, that is wonderful. This is a marvelous reunion. And
wonderful.
I just want to say, let you gentlemen know that I am so really excited about this technology because we can all be conversing, although we can't see each other yet.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a great way to bring people together and share
great
memories.
Great, wonderful friends.
Just love it.
This is a great reunion because we're all such close, good friends, and we have so much in common.
Yeah.
Because Carl and myself, I knew Carl from we were in elementary school.
Yeah, you went to Michael.
We went to Michael. Carl and myself were near wearing short pants and playing in the dirt. But Michael, Carl and myself. So I've known you for a long time. And then John and myself, we met at Dintel in 49. We've been very, very close, good friends, inseparable.
Yeah.
And we have grown and shared so much.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, this is so great because, you know, when we're all on the same track, we're talking about one thing. It brings back so many memories.
Oh, sure.
Some of the past guests have called back after the show to say that because they were asked to come on the show, they went, things came to them that they didn't even know they would remember.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great exercise, and also it has more energy when there are more participants because, you know, somebody feed off of somebody else's what they say.
Of course, absolutely. It's absolutely great.
Yes,
I'm so grateful to Frank and John for having joined me.
Yeah, well,
as I gave them very short notice.
No, I'm glad that Carl called and spoke to me. When he told me, the first thing came to mind, I better call John because John is the guy who has all the information. And he's usually very good at presenting this stuff. So this is a wonderful, you have a nice spectrum of, you know, people from School of Agriculture, JSA.
Yeah. I know you're probably running out of time, but I'll just say one thing that kept us together. If I were going into town on a date and I don't have the right sort of tie, you can always borrow somebody else's tie. Sometime I bought somebody else's jacket. So it's good for the ladies. So that sort of swapping of clothes, you know, just something that sort of bonds you together forever.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Here's one more important thing I should add. It would be difficult for us to go back to the way we were because when we were in boarding school, all boys and boys couldn't dance.
Mm-hmm.
Boys would dance together, teaching other boys how to dance.
Right.
And so when we had graduation or in the function, the guys who couldn't dance, we had to teach them how to dance, how to dress, and everything like that. Teach them how to address ladies and things. We did a lot of that.
Yes.
You know, schooling and training.
Yeah.
That's wonderful bonding. Wonderful bonding.
Yeah.
Well, you know, gentlemen, I booked extra time for tonight because, you know, when Carl was on the floor, he was so interesting and engaging. So I know that we'd need extra time. So I want to just take a minute to let the fans on the board and those who may be listening online. Number one, we have quite a few shows in the archives. So how you get to the archives, each show is, if you go to the website Blog Talk Radio, Backyard Labrish, you will see if they're filed by month. If you click on the month, it will give you the list of shows for that particular month. And click on that show. If you find a show that interests you and you think one of your peers or friends or would like it, all you do is copy the URL of that show. Just copy the website, and you can send it to them in the mail and invite them to listen to the show. And if you gentlemen would like, I can edit this show and be sure to make sure that you all have a link to it, because you know the Blog Talk Radio is a wonderful platform, but they do put ads on once we are off the show.
Wonderful.
But I can have it edited for you, and I'm really just really excited to expand the list a little, and I'm so excited that you gentlemen joined us tonight, and I hope that you will allow Carl to give you the website or the address so I can add you to my list. Because
please do that.
I really believe that the show has been very meaningful for a lot of fans, because I get letters from them, or some people that have my personal number call me up. And, you know, as I say here, we're not here to discuss what's right, wrong, what's going on. Now, there's a lot of wonderful websites now that is documenting, you know, what is happening now in politics, in the arts, and everything. This particular show I've dedicated to the past, our past, and even beyond that, because there are three historians that are doing a wonderful job of putting pieces together that did not have a lot of documentation. If I may share with you, one is Dr. Joy Lumsden, who still resides in Jamaica. She's an English woman who married a Jamaican in college and moved there and is lived there for all of her life, and she's putting a period together that I discuss, and a lot of those shows are in the archives. So just search around until you find a show that interests you. And then if you're techie, you know that you can minimize it and listen to it while you check your email or do something else. So if you would tell your friends about Backyard Labrish, I would really appreciate it. And we do have more time. I see that there are several callers on the board, and I really would like to invite you, if you would like to join these wonderful gentlemen that are talking about Jamaica School of Agriculture, just hit one on your keypad, and I will see that you have raised your hands, and I'll be happy to welcome you to the Labrish. Because for the people who come by later that might not know what the Labrish is, because the show gets all sorts of hits from people who visited Jamaica or people just want to know a little more about the culture or what the culture was like before the independence, this is the show that they come to find out. So please, you know, tell your friends about it. And we also have a website, which is www.backyardlabrish.com, and you can get to the radio show from being on that website. So with that said, it's back to you, gentlemen, and we still have 20 minutes.
Okay.
So callers can raise their hands, and you gentlemen can take it away.
Mm-hmm. We had a wonderful time at farm school in Papine. There was some guys who would, if they wanted to imbibe a bit, they could go out by Papine and have some liquor. As a matter of fact,
really?
One friend of mine, I mean, that was not approved of by the school at all.
Yeah.
But I had a friend of mine who was very much interested in drinking liquor. In those days, we used to drink something called, what's the name of the rum again? I forgot the name of the rum. Anyway, he went out to Papine and got himself quite
Captain
drunk.
Captain Morgan?
No, it wasn't Captain Morgan. It was, I think, called Black Seal.
Oh, okay.
Black Seal. It was quite a potent rum. But this one of my batchmates, he went out there and got quite drunk. It was the last day of school. And when he got back, he came back. He confronted by the headmaster.
What was his punishment?
Well, he couldn't punish him too much at the last day of school.
Oh, what got you?
He just got annoyed. Got very annoyed. Another thing I remember, which I was telling Frank about today, we had a single telephone, which was located at the corridor of the third year classroom. And that telephone rang at all hours of the day while we were in class.
Uh-huh.
So the headmaster got very annoyed about it. And he said, guys, you have to stop your callers calling at hours. You know, we're in class, we don't want to hear the phone ringing. So I said, but Mr. John, so we don't know what they're going to call? He said, you must educate your would-be callers.
You don't know who's going to call, but you need to
educate them. Educate your would-be callers.
Right, right. That's a good one.
He was a very stern man, Mr. Johnson.
Uh-huh.
I think he passed away.
Recently, yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, we had some
grandkids.
There was a young gentleman who taught physics and chemistry, Mr. Singh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was an Indian
man.
He was very short in stature.
Mm-hmm.
So one day when we had just got on the campus, and he had a little garden in the front of his house because, of course, he lived on campus. And we were just coming from the field. And one guy called him and said, "Coolie boy, time to stop placement. Stop." What did he say? "Time to wash up." When you stop work, you say, "Wash up."
Uh-huh.
And he was so embarrassed. "Oh, no, I don't have to wash up. This is my own place."
He was passing his house, Mr. Singh's house.
Yeah, passing his house, and he was doing his gardening.
I got you. Uh-huh.
You know, on a more serious note, I would say, one of the things about that school is that, for me personally, and from hearing from some other people, you come to America, say, and, you know, you're going about your life, and sometimes you get into difficulties. And one of the most rewarding things of that experience is that guys will call you up and say, "You know, I'm doing this and I'm having difficulty." Or you will call them up and say, "I'm having difficulty about this. You know, I feel kind of down today." And you, next thing you know, the guy's talking to you, "You know, listen, man, blah, 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 you know, remember the days." And next thing you know, after about 5-10 minutes of talk, your spirits are up again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we owe a debt of gratitude to that school for making that possible for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, when you have someone to talk to, it's like therapy. You know,
yes.
People are paying for that. No.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And who was that we had? If you would just let the callers know who's talking when you come on, it would help. So, Mr. Carl?
Mm-hmm. I remember one of the courses which we did was beekeeping. We had to learn to keep bees.
Oh.
I think I had one class in beekeeping because I was not amused at the bees swarming all over my head.
You select what you do?
Well, I mean, we had to go inside the little compound where the bees were kept. And the beekeeper instructor trying to tell us how to handle the bees. And he would say, if you keep very quiet, the bees won't bite you. But it gave you a very funny feeling. You just have a lot of bees swarming on your head or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it was a very eerie feeling.
Yeah, did you have the protective gear for the
Yes, we had
time?
Protective gear and the smoke and all that sort of things.
Oh.
But I think I had one beekeeping class. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant. Could you select the the curriculum? Can you
No, you're not supposed to, but you'd find a way to duck it.
Oh, I got you. Uh-huh. What about you, other gentlemen? Did you have a favorite subject?
Well, I didn't have a favorite one because I figure if I spend too much time on a favorite subject, it might somehow hamper the other one. So we tried our very best to be good at everything. What we used to do, at least in my case, there's a fellow I spoke to today, as a matter of fact, I haven't talked to him in years. We used to go with our books down to the botanical garden, sit under a tree, And I recite all this stuff almost word for word, which took a lot of work, you understand? And so therefore, and then we go to another topic. So everyone, in my case anyway, and in case of my friend, you had, everyone was special. Because you don't, and we're competitive too, I have to admit that. We may not say that, but we were competitive.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they publish your position, number one, number two, number three.
Wow. You came in the class,
Right.
You'd be on a board, and woe betide you if you're the last one on that list.
Mm-hmm.
People lose respect for you fast.
right. Isn't that
But remember, you had to pass because some guys didn't make a passing score and they got kicked out. That's another part about it, that they had the requirement that not everyone who enters graduate and not everyone who take the course pass. And if you fail, you'd be kicked out of the school. And many guys started and never finished the whole program.
Yeah.
So when you don't know where your strength lie, you study all the courses. I had to study everything very, very hard. Things I didn't like, you understand, like... In the workshops, learning to, you know, to use the saw and use the plane and all that, you know, all the classes, you devote your time to it intensely, working with the poultry, collecting the eggs, you know, even learning to do castration of animals and all that stuff. I was, blooded.
Oh, really? You had to do that like a vet?
Yes.
Everything. Because when you're an agriculture instructor and the vet is not there, you have to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to do all that and learn how to spay a chicken and all that stuff, you know. And but you have to devote your time, you have to dedicate, you have to clench your teeth and apply yourself. And really, for me, it was a good way for survival and also the closeness to my friends require understand and respect how important it is to have a team support. You know, we plan ahead of time what we're going to do, how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best guy would go first to show us. And then the guy who's least competent would come last.
Wow.
And so that's how we work through that stuff.
Observe the others before him.
Yeah, observe, huh?
Oh, that is great.
You know,
great.
I remember once, there's this chicken they call a capon.
Mm-hmm.
Which they, you know, this from the store, this capon has a greater chest meat and all that kind of good stuff. And it was at a dinner party once, many, many years later, and the capon was served. And one guest says, "What in the world is a capon? What kind of chicken is that anyway?" And so I launched out into this lecture of how you get a capon. And finally, the woman says to me, I'm Professor Walter, how about telling us at coffee time? But I bet you don't know what a capon is, do you?
Oh, I was just about to ask you, are you going to tell us what a capon is, please?
I'll let Dr. Verdi do that, Frank do that.
No, John, it's your story. I like the way you tell it, John.
No, guys, you're passing the buck.
Yeah.
Well, it's simply this. I mean, you know, Frank just said we had to know how to castrate animals and so on. A capon, of course, is a male chicken, you see, and they usually tend to be a little more scrawny. So what you have to do is to castrate them, so to speak. But they don't have anything externally that you can cut off. So you have to start, you know, like where the liver is in a human being, they are located, the testicles are located there. So you have to go there and then cut them out and, you know, put a tape over the cut, and he's all right, usually. And then he begins to swell up very nicely, and he becomes a capon.
Oh, so it's a fixed thing.
Yes. So that's why the hostess didn't want me talking anymore.
I mean, I'm sure, I don't know about the other listeners, but I never heard of that before.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
It's
funny, because those experiences were very good for me, because when I was in college, and, you know, I was in animal genetics, I had a course in managing farm animals. And I did one of the important things we had to do. But the guy was teaching the course says, if you're out in Oregon or out in the Dakotas and it's the spring and you go out there and you see all these young animals, and if you should encounter, say, a young sheep, you're very concerned. He says you're all alone by yourself. You have nothing to do. And so normally, what you have to do, you take a knife, and you might make a cut, but you're not sure about infection. So you had to take your teeth and bite it out and spit it out. So you went back in the spring. Then I'm pregnant. Yeah, that was a requirement to pass the course.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And I can tell one of my classmates from Connecticut, John knows him, Robert Niederman. You know, remember Bob Niederman?
Yeah.
We're in the same class.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember he fainted in the process.
God.
Yeah. But what in animal husbandry, in this school of agriculture, when they're training you, you have to go out. So when you're out, say, in the Dakotas, in Oregon, and just after the spring when the snow is high and all the young males are there, you have to take care of them before you go back in the fall, because otherwise they would have mated. That was one of the most difficult things I ever did in college.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very, very interesting. I don't know for the rest of the callers on the board, but I am just really fascinated with all these stories. Because I am a Kingston girl, born under the clock, and just visited Savlamar, which was another town. It was really a country.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know all of that is going on right in Kingston. Under my nose.
Well, I'm a Kingston boy. I was born in Kingston. That's one of the asphalt farmers. So,
Torrington Bridge.
Torrington Bridge, Vineyard Town and all that place. You know, that's where I live. And so,
yeah, I lived in Vineyard Town, too.
Yeah, I lived on Marion Road. I didn't even know which side of the cow to milk from and all that stuff.
That's a good one.
But it was... I learned a lot, and I would do it all over again. I feel I've
absolutely
benefit tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's when you have a background like that and you go into another field, like in my case, people don't expect you to know anything but what the field that you're in. Let's say you're in law or you're in history or something like that, and they're talking, and somehow one night I remember the whole business of goats came up. And there, one fellow asked a question, what kind of goat is that anyway? Is that a merino goat? You see, because that's all he knows about merino wool and all the sort of thing. So I don't know what got into me. I think I had the urge to show off. So I began to talk about all the kinds of goats that are available that are in the world, you know. And suddenly the place got quiet. And everybody was looking to me until I caught on. And the guy says to me, are you making this up?
is that something?
Farm school made all those things possible.
Right. Now, did you have any sort of graduation, any sort of functions and all of that on the campus?
Oh, yes, we had a big graduation ceremony. Mm-hmm. And everybody dressed in the same clothes, you know? Like in my case, which shows a gray material. We all get our stuff to a particular tailor. We'd make the suits, and at graduation time, we'd all be dressed in the same uniform, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So it was a uniformed school. You used to wear uniforms.
Yes, for graduation time. Otherwise, there was no uniform. Just graduation time.
Oh, otherwise there wasn't, I see.
No, there wasn't any. But graduation time, we all try to look decent, so to speak, like gentlemen.
That's fascinating. And you guys don't have any pictures at all of that period?
I have a picture of my graduating class.
Oh, wow. Well, if you would like to share, I'd love to have it posted on the website.
If I can find it.
Okay.
Hey, John has some lovely pictures, don't you, John?
Yeah, but those are mostly from Dentil, not JSA.
Dentil, okay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But it's the school, it's the good old school days, so, you know, there's much of that. There's a lot of the school days now of the children who are in schools there now, because, you know, they take a picture and in a minisecond, a nanosecond, it's online.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole
world
can view it, among other things. But in our day, that was not so readily available.
Mm-hmm. I remember the glory days of the photo studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have a picture of my brother and myself, which we took at a photo studio. In those days, the photographer would hide behind a big black piece of cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
You have to keep still for quite a few minutes while he did the exposure.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody, in there was a period where everybody had the same background.
Right, right.
In their picture.
I mean, the background.
Brian
in the back
was
of the,
one of the photographers. I remember it would be stamped on the picture.
Right, right. Maurice
was
one of the photographers.
There was another name.
Maurice was one of those.
But those were the good old days.
Yeah.
But there's one thing, too, that the school made possible for all of us, is that I myself was from St. Mary, which was far away from Kingston, where the school was. And there's some students who lived in the country, but not in Kingston. And they'll say, look, who wants to give you want to go back all the way to St. Mary or Otura or some place like that? Come and stay with us for the holidays. And I'll
mm-hmm.
go to Old Harbor Bay, you know, and places like that, just close by. Or they might even take me someplace, Savannah Lamar. So you get to know the country that the rest of Jamaica you normally would not have done. And
yes,
I think I was not the only one going to other people's houses, you know. And it was great. You met their parents, you know, you met their family, and backward and forward. It was a great sort of fertilization there taking place.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. I am really so grateful to you all sharing this with the rest of the world.
Yes.
And, I am doing this show basically for my grandchildren, that one day they will find all of this information in the clouds, because my children were born here, and so my grandchildren are that much removed from my culture. So part of what I'm doing this for is for the not only the coming generation now that will be maturing, but even for the ones after that.
Yes.
So you gentlemen have really made this much richer and more interesting, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I want to give my thanks, special thanks to John and Frank, who came on at very short notice. And it really made the show very interesting. I thank them so very much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, Carl,
I thank you, too.
Well, Carl, you've done a wonderful job. You've always been a very compassionate and sharing guy. I'm glad you invited us on.
Yes,
it's a pleasure, always a pleasure.
And now, gentlemen, and for the rest of the callers, and we have quite a few callers online, you know, I hope that you will allow me to, if you're not yet on my mailing list, if you will just allow me to have your email so I can send you to tell you about, I only send out information about the shows. I don't use the email for anything else. I'm very loyal to that. Because I tell people I'm a senior, so I don't, you know, do this is just for this purpose. And but I do want to spread the word, because I'm sure there's a lot of us all around the world that, you know, want to tell our stories and that would love to hear some other stories to take us back to the days of our youth. Because just hear you talking about Hope Gardens and what it was, I didn't know that part. I don't remember. I was a fan of Hope Gardens. I used to love to go there on a weekend, you know, a Sunday or a Saturday afternoon. I used to love to listen to the military band. They always have the band there in the gazebo playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to love going through the maze. So just having you talk about it, you know, took me back. to those days. And, you know, it's always so delightful when we can go back to memories that make us joyful and happy.
Yeah.
So I do hope that the rest of the callers on the board feed the same experience, and those who may come by. And we're here each week at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love.
Yes.
So, gentlemen, I have about 5 minutes. If you would like to have a passing word, please go ahead. Feel free. Carl, you're on first.
Okay. Once again, I say I came on at very short notice myself, And John and Frank even got much less notice than I did, but I was so very happy to hear them. And we had similar experiences, and it's just a word of appreciation for taking the time to come on the show with us. Really appreciate it.
I would
say
that.
Thank you. Frank, do we have?
Let John go first.
John?
I would say that it was just doing this with you was very uplifting. Because I got to hear Carl, who I didn't know before. And I presume that there are people listening, and I hope that they got a good insight of the sort of fun we had being young Jamaicans at a very good school, which I hope they might revive one of these days.
Me too.
Yeah.
Now, John?
Frank.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was very pleased to be able to participate. Both Carl and John are longtime friends for whom I hold greatest amount of respect and admiration. I'm glad to see that in spite of their accomplishments, they still have that boyish thing in them, which makes them human. And I'm very pleased, Margaret, to hear your show, and I'm sure I'll listen again. I never knew about it, and it's comforting to know that Jamaica still lives in our hearts.
Oh, yes, definitely. It will live in my heart forever. And I'm very passionate about, you know, talking to people of like minds. That although we might not planning, I don't know for you gentlemen, I'm not planning to go back there to retire. I have been retired for some time, but I still have that passion about my country, and I consider myself blessed to be born and raised there. Although I've lived longer here than I've lived there, but still, I am really, really very passionate and excited about having the opportunity to do what I am doing, because this platform did not exist, you know, when we were growing up. And for the seniors who might be a little challenged with the internet and, you know, just being online and being so public, I can tell you it can be a private thing. It doesn't have to be a public thing, and it is a marvelous thing. Because I don't know 90% of the people that I speak with on the show since it has started. Mm-hmm. And because some of my friends are just not interested in my passion, so I don't have my friends on very often.
I see.
So I have met so many people since I've been doing the show that I just feel very special and very blessed. And I want to know, make everyone know, even those that might not put up their hands, how much I appreciate their support. So with that said, I want to say a big thank you to everyone tonight for being here. And as I end my show every week, I am sure you will make it a great week. And I hope to see you next week. Thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye. Good night, John. Good night, Carl.
All right.
Bye-bye, Margaret.
Thanks, Carl.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.